Hi everyone, and welcome to the Gentleman's Talk. Hope we're all right. I hope we've had a good weekend. And firstly, let me start by apologising. I know it's been a bit of a while since I last recorded, which is almost a bit. It's been a week today. I'm sorry. I will fully explain. Roller coaster of a week, but you know, it's as always a roller coaster of a week. This was probably a little bit more difficult of a week, but mainly because of the pressures I put on myself. But yeah, you know, I'll talk about that in due course. Difficult one today. Not difficult one, actually, an unusual one today. So I was reflecting today, you know, just sort of kind of going over the week, ready to re-engage with my podcast, really. And I woke up this morning, something a little bit unusual. I'd started my day with this, you know, I've been talking about nurturing your friends and, you know, nurturing sort of kind of the people around you and engaging in the right ways to make your life beneficial and better. And, you know, one of the things that sort of came to fruition really was today, and I'll talk about that. You know, so it's quite I've had an exceptional weekend. I really have, to the point where it sort of overwhelmed me a little bit today. So and I'll start off really with, what do I mean by overwhelming me? Well, for the first time in a long time, you know, got to basically about 1 o'clock ish I was on my walk with my dog, and I decided to take him out for a bit of a longer walk. It was a fairly nice day. Well, I was gonna say fairly nice, it was a bloody nice day, actually. You know, we were in 19 degrees. And yeah, I was just wanting to enjoy a bit of the sun, so you know, I thought I'd take the dog out. We went out for a nice 3 mile walk, and it was really nice, really pleasant. And on this certain walk I go on, I get to a certain point where I can actually let him go and sniff and do what he needs to do as a dog, you know, kind of give him his free rein. I don't really like to hold him on his lead. I have to in certain circumstances. He's a giant big German Shepherd, so he can be quite intimidating. But, you know, it's one of those. In fact, bear with me 2 seconds. I'm just going to turn that down a little bit. Hold on. Live studio stuff here. Sorry about that. That was just a little bit loud for me in the background. I wanted it as a bit of, you know, ambiance. Not literally like I'm in a bass. It must be because I'm getting old, because I don't think it was that loud, but it certainly seemed a little bit distracting for me. So anyway, sorry about the distraction there. So I was reflecting. So I got to a certain point and I can let him off. So I do his own thing, and I've got my earphones in. So, you know, I'm sort of kind of noise cancelling, so I don't hear anything. I just kind of engaged, and I was running over the podcast really, and sort of kind of, you know, I sort of kind of pre-prep myself a little bit really to you know, make sure the topic's on point, make sure I know what I'm talking about. And you know, it's not just a case of, a lot of it is like, this is kind of free reign really, but at the same time I've got an agenda, if you like, in my head, so I know what I'm going to talk about, and then I just let everything go. Anyway, I was walking along this walk, and you know, the dog was off doing his own thing, and it was quite quiet, and I could see fairly far ahead, so I knew that there was no worries. So I was just reflecting really on the last week. It's been a bit of a stressful week for me, and believe it or not, I actually had a tear. I had a little tear, which is unusual for me, because I'm not really an emotional person. But if I'm going to be brutally honest, I know why. It's not one of those bad ones. It wasn't a bad tear. It was a good tear for once. And I think it was because I don't want to be, you know, a skeptic in this sort of things, but I've genuinely never been, I haven't been this happy for as long as I can remember. I'm in a really good place, emotionally and physically. Yeah, you know, I know physically can mean a lot of boundaries, and I know I've got to work on my physique to make myself feel confident again. But at the same time, it's a journey, and I don't want to overwhelm myself. So I've chose on that path at the moment to just cut down what I eat and just eat a bit more sensibly, and really just concentrate on my mind, because my mind, if that's in a good place, then everything else will work. I've found when I've done exercise before, I've substituted exercise with working on my mind. So that's fine, but then I physically exhaust myself because my mind hasn't been fixed. So, you know, I was conscious of that. And I was walking along and I was just sort of kind of, yeah, just reflecting on the whole day. And, you know, or the whole week even the last 3 months, you know, 4 months almost. I hadn't felt better. I haven't felt happier. And it's testament to what I've nurtured along the way. And I'm really proud of where I've come to. And, you know, for me to feel that emotion, it is leaps and bounds, because it wasn't a horrible emotion. I mean, I honestly can't remember the last time I cried happy. Do you know what I mean? Because I know people can do that, and you get hysterical laughter where you literally, you know, you're in tears. I haven't been like that for a long time. But I almost see a glimmer on the horizon now. This hard work is paying off, and it made me happy. What do I mean by how has it paid off? You know, well, it's just nice to be surrounded by people that care. And also, some of the things I've done this weekend have just been proven that I'm in a good place with the right people around me. So I've spoke to you before about sort of nurturing your friends and all that sort of stuff, and I've really kept to that, and that's been hard, I must admit, because, you know, people have spoke to me and I've spoke to people, and as you've heard in podcasts, it doesn't always go as well as you want, and sometimes people try and re-engage with you and I'm a little bit reluctant, which I have to be, because I have to protect myself, not in a, you know, sort of kind of airy-fairy type of way, but I have to protect myself in the sense that I want to build myself up to be a better person. So I've acknowledged and I've addressed who has made me feel like this over the last 9 years. I've you know, broken it down systematically. I've removed, you know, 200 odd people off my Facebook, and, you know, I'm down to 23 now, and the odd person's added me back, which was, excuse me, nice to see, because, you know, you're seeing them sort of engaging with you, and it's nice. I've just gone, do you know what, you know, you haven't added me, so we're not interested, sort of thing. So yeah, I just felt in a really good place, but it hasn't been like that all week, and that's the weird thing for me about why I felt the emotion I did today. I know why, because I've had probably I've had a stressful week. So I started off the week with I just want to see if my music stopped. I think it possibly has, but I'm just going to let it see. Yeah, anyway. So I've had kind of like a bit of an odd week. No, it's going to bug me, because I'm used to it in the background. So, God's sake, what's this all about, James? You know? It hadn't. It was actually on one of those long Ben Howard songs that I like. That's why. Sorry about that. Look at this. I'm dancing around the room in my own time. I had a stressful week. I put myself on a course, or actually four courses, P900, P901, P903, and P904. I didn't really know what I was doing, but, you know, the courses came up. There were one-day courses with an exam at the end, but there was nothing really stipulated on that. And I thought to myself, well, they're quite in depth, but I spoke to a woman, she sort of said, you know, yeah, you should be able to do it. And you know, the company had paid £2,000 or £2,200 for this course, these four courses. P900 was, basically, it's all to do with my job, which is Legionella, okay? So I needed to learn the full ins and outs of Legionella. And I stressed out, because P900 was quite an easy one. I've done that before. It was quite, it's just basically the basics. And then P901 was like a full in-day course, but I didn't know what to expect. And unfortunately, that was my first real course day, because the other ones were just an online thing. I sat down with this course instructor, and bless him, really nice guy. Don't get me wrong, he was a really nice guy. But you could tell that he didn't want to do this. He'd been sort of kind of dicked for it, by the sound of things, for his company. He had a horrendous cold, so, you know, he wanted to just power through this. Basically, I discovered on the course, well, the first day, we started at 8:30 in the morning. We didn't stop till 12:10, I think it was. And then we, 12:40, we had our dinner break. So 12:10 to 12:40. And then 12:40 till 4 o'clock, again, didn't move. I was sat in my seat. He said, if you want to go and get a drink, you can go and get a drink. But I'm going to carry on the course. And I was like, because basically this was, I've discovered that this is a 2-day course that's been put into a 1-day course because they just want to get the money. That is the only way I can describe it. I've done my level 3 AET in teaching. I know this isn't how you teach. I've been on enough courses to understand that this is not how you teach. You don't sit there for 4 hours, have a half hour break, and then sit there for another, about three and a half hours, and then 3.5 hours. You just don't do that. You know, it's been proven that human beings, especially in adults, need a break of 40 minutes. So I'd done this all day and I just endured it, and I literally, it completely nearly wiped me out. Anyway, we were doing mock exam questions during the day and stuff, so I felt prepared. I was like taking on what I could, but I'll be honest with you, out of a 100% course, I probably took on about 40% of the day because it was exhausting. It was a warm day. I was in my office. We didn't move, and even when we did move, you know, it was like if you went to the toilet, you sacrificed learning that bit. Do you know what I mean? And then we came to the mock questions, and it was like, you know, there was eight of us on the course. We rattled through the questions, and it just sort of kind of really, really rapid and fast. And I didn't sit right with me. And then, so, but anyway, I carried on, and it stressed out. Came to 4 o'clock, and the exam starts at 4 o'clock. So we finished at like 10 to 4. We had 10 minutes to set up, get this link, and then because it's all done virtually now, we need an adjudicator, so, or whatever they call it, an auditor sort of thing. It's not an auditor, but they did have a word for it. I can't remember. Someone will probably tell me. But they were watching me basically. So you have to sit in front of your laptop, and they watch all your body movement. And she starts off by saying, "I've caught 3 people cheating already." Do you know what I mean? Not today, but like in a previous course. I instantly thought, well, fucking job's worth. Do you know what I mean? Let's just do what we've got to do to get through this. You know, we've paid the money, we've learned the job, help us get through the exam. But I get it, it's got to be exam conditions. But what I didn't realise was it was a written exam. So there was no questions. Well, there was questions, but there was no answers. And you pick the one, vote for Joe, as we call it. Which, you know, I've done quite a few of, and it's, you know, it helps you pick out the right one. But they didn't. They wanted it as a written exam. So I was like, right. So I had to answer these questions, you know, sort of kind of verbatim, exactly as they're written down, to get the max amount of marks. 60% pass mark, which is quite low, but at the same time, you put it in the context of you've done 7 hours learning, pretty much straight, with a half hour break in between. Then you've gone straight into an exam, a written exam, that you get an hour to write these exam questions down, and then you're switched off, done, move on to the next one. You don't hear for 6 to 8 weeks whether you passed or not. You've just got to kind of crack on. To top that off, I was halfway through the exam and my daughter had gone upstairs, and I let her do whatever she needs to do in her rooms. I don't go in their rooms because they're messy children. So I've come to an agreement with the family that I won't deal with their rooms. That's their safe haven. They can do what they like in it. However, I then went into their room, and bearing in mind I'm a health and safety advisor, I walked into a room to discover that I came in and the internet had first off gone off. So I went in the house. It was literally crazy. There was kids everywhere because my wife's a childminder, and there was no internet. And basically it was like, yeah, there's no internet at the moment. We're just resetting it. Tegan put her TV on and, it come on or whatever, you know. I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, well, that's not the case. So obviously, I was a little bit upset because I was halfway through exam. I thought, it's online. I'm going to lose my questions. I didn't realise that, you know, every minute it saves. So if you log out and log back in, it doesn't really matter. But I didn't know that because they didn't explain that to me. So anyway, I obviously stressed out, came back in. The internet kicked back in and I carried on with the exam. And then I was very stressed out, went in and I had an absolute blazing round with my wife because I was stressed, and I kind of reverted back to my old self because that's what I do, post-traumatic stress disorder. You know, I go fight or flight, and I'm always in fight. So it's kind of like, and we, you know, you have to use that word fight fast and loose with that. It's not fight. I'm not physically fighting my wife, but I go into fight. So confrontational. So I was obviously like, you didn't control your kids, you know, fucking your childminder, you know, you shouldn't have done this. What the fuck's happened upstairs, you know? So then I walk upstairs and walk into my daughter's room. And then on the floor is an extension lead that's been over, you know, there's too many plugs in it. And I was like, right, okay. And one of the leads was like, the extension lead was hanging about sort of 4 inches off the floor that was pulling on this cable that was in the back of the TV. And I was like, you know, when you look at something and you go, fucking, I literally rip people apart for this shit during the day. And I can't rip people apart. I'm gripping my hair right now. I can't grip my daughter. But at the same time, I'm then even angrier because I've gone like, you've asked me not to go into their rooms to discipline them or anything like that. Not discipline them, but can't go into their room. Discipline is a horrible word, isn't it? But in the right context, you know, you can't go into their room and make sure it's clean and tidy, safe, etc., etc. Because they want to make it messy, they make it messy. Well, I'm like, fine. I never did that as a child. But I've embraced it. I've looked at the you know, the different side of parenting to see if it works and if they feel happier and safer in that environment, provided it's safe. Obviously, I've gone in and it's not fucking safe, is it? It's literally a fire hazard waiting to happen. So to top this off, I'm already fucking angry and I'm already pissed off that I've had the worst day in my life. I love education and I love learning things because it keeps my mind occupied. I can't sit still because I don't want to let the demons fucking take over my brain. So I like it. I love learning. So, but obviously this was a stressful situation. It wasn't the best learning environment. The teaching was fucking awful in terms of the context and how it was delivered, but the context and the structure of the course was absolutely appalling. The exam was written. I didn't know that. Coupled with the fact that if I fail, this is my fucking job. Do you know what I mean? So I had all these pressures. Knowing that I also, you know, I'd gone in and this had happened and I'm thinking, fuck me, there's a fire, fucking hazard upstairs. And I'm just absolutely livid. You know, you can tell. I walked out the fucking front door, went for a walk and came back in. But I'd done the pressure. But then what I didn't realise was I'd had a few people text me as well during the day. Because they obviously, my closest mates, they knew I was on course. So they all said, you know, fucking how good luck and you'll smash it out of the bag. And they're really supportive and I absolutely love that. And then it came to, you know, kind of the evening and I was really, I don't think I've been that tired ever. Like literally, I was mentally and physically exhausted because I was sat in a chair for so long and my back doesn't take it anyway because I've got a bit of a weak back, bit of a glass back in it, do you know what I mean, from the car crashes. And emotionally, I couldn't take it. And mentally, I couldn't take it because it was a lot of learning. I'd taken on so much. It was a really important course. And yeah, I just kind of got to the point where that stress load had just overtook. So I'd created like a whirlwind of fucking fire in the house from, you know, brimstone and fire over the incompetence of people and stuff. And I was like, rah, you know, health and safety head went on like a fucking idiot, and I don't mean to do that, but I was like, you know, this is, and I suppose when you're a health and safety advisor or deal within health and safety, the problem with it is yes, okay, I get it, it's a boring job, you know, and it's as boring as you want to make it. I actually enjoy it. I do actually enjoy it because I like people. I like keeping people safe. I'm a protector, so I like making sure that people are safe. And I do genuinely worry when they're not. So for me, it's a great role, if I'm honest, and I learn things all the time. But what people don't realise is when you're in health and safety, when you're in health and safety field, the stuff you see and the stuff you hear and it's just fucking mind-boggling. Do you know what I mean? It's like, wow. And you hear about people just doing, like, you know, climbing up the ladder in their house, like I've done, hanging off a fucking rung. Do you know what I mean? I'm at home, it don't really matter. And the person's fallen off, landed on his head and completely killed himself, you know? So you hear all these stories. So you naturally have, you're not risk averse because, you know, that's kind of, you know, you don't want to kind of avoid it. But at the same time, you are a little bit naturally cautious of it because you've seen what can happen in the worst case scenario. So you do get a bit protective over it and you do become a bit of that guy, that bit of that boring person. But you just look at the safety of people. Do you know what I mean? I do it now. I walk around the shops and go, oh, fucking hell, fire extinguisher is not the right height or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? And it shouldn't do that. But these are like professional organisations that have got it wrong. Do you know what I mean? So where do we go right? Do you know what I mean? Anyway, I digress again, don't I? Yeah, so hold on while I just take a sip. So yeah, so there was a, you know, there's a lot of there's been a lot going on. So I'd built myself up for that. And you know, I'd not only that, I'd knew that I had 903 on the next day and 904 the next day, and I was like, I said to the, at the end of 901, I was like, is it the same procedure tomorrow? And he was like, yes. And I was like, right, okay. So not only did I have the tiredness of that and the stress of that, the stress of the day, sorry, I had the stress of that going to sleep. So I went to bed at about 8:30. A couple of mates texted me and they said they were going to call me, and I went, there's just, I'm not in the mood to talk, mate. I'm really, you know, not in a horrible way. I'm just drained and exhausted. So I decided, yeah, to crack on. And I woke up next morning trying to be full of vigour and, you know, just think, fuck it, I'm just going to embrace it. And found out then the next day on the course, it was just me and him for the whole day. So I was like, no one really to bounce off at all and no one to help answer the questions. But it actually boded me quite well because it was just one-on-one tutoring. For the downside was it was the same structure. It was a two-day course that had been put into one day and an exam at the end of it. And the same on the third day. So I got to the end of the week and I was like, well, I got to Tuesday and straight away I messaged my boss saying I'm going to have to take Friday off because I am not in any place to... This has been a really intense course. And knew that I'd need that time, that downtime. So anyway... That took over, and yeah, I had a bit of a sort of stressful week, really. And but the downside to me being in that stressful situation is the knock-on effect when you talk to people like shit, and I did, and you've got to remember that, you know, I've got to remember that I've got three girls, and you know, obviously my missus. So for me, it's kind of just surrounded by girls. So when you say things in words, it means a lot more than it does to a bloke. Do you know what I mean? Because, you know, blokes, we deal with physical violence and women deal with like an emotional sort of aspect of it. So, you know, I didn't say anything horrible, but it's just the way you can word things when you're in a really stressful situation, almost like you didn't look after your kids. Well, to me, that's like you didn't look after the kid. He was screaming, one of your children, you know, they was kind of sort of shouting. I didn't say it in a negative way. I just sort of kind of, there was no one in the house. It was just me and her talking at this point. But I sort of said, well, you know, you could have controlled, you know, it's your job. You know, you just got to control the kids. And she did. And like I say, there was absolutely nothing that had happened in the house. But at the time, the stress had built up that I needed to get that frustration out. I needed to get some sort of conversation going. I needed to get rid of this anger that had built up because that's what had happened. And I was like, fuck, I need to do this. I've got to get this anger out. And so obviously, but when you say things like you didn't control your kids, that doesn't say you didn't control your kids. That basically says you're fucking incompetent at doing your job. Now, I can reflect on and think about it in that aspect now because I'm clear-headed. But when I'm in an argumentative state, I've got a fog over my head and a fog over my face, and I don't really think about things, which is why, you know, I kind of don't really like getting angry because it's not a nice thing to say. I say some fucking horrible, hurtful things. So anyway, you know, got to the tail end of the week, took Friday off, and, you know, Friday was the start of my rebuild from those 3 or 4 days. And I was emotionally drained. I was very exhausted. But basically, Friday, I decided to, you know, in fact, actually, it was prompted by my wife. My wife came in and said, I was going to go to Bournemouth. And she was like, well, don't go to Bournemouth today. Go to Bournemouth on Saturday with me and go and do something on your bike or go wakeboarding. Well, I was going to go wakeboarding, but wakeboarding was closed for another 2.5 weeks. So I couldn't go there. So I was like, right, I'm just going to go on my bike. So I took my bike and went for an absolute blast out and just went for a really long walk. I did go to the beach in the end, but not Bournemouth or anywhere like that. I went down to Poole. Just myself, just the closest beach, just for a nice long ride out, and just took a nice walk somewhere different so I didn't ruin Saturday by having the same visuals I'd had the day before. So, you know, I'd sort of kind of done it right, came back, and that felt good. And then Friday night, I gained my brother and my best mate. and, you know, had an absolutely amazing evening gaming as well. So I'd already knew I was in a really good place. Had a nice Friday night, and then, you know, Saturday I'd woken up crack of dawn, took a nice drive down to Bournemouth, and just had the most amazing day. It was just me and my wife all day. You know, I bought her a nice gift for Mother's Day, and a little gift from me anyway. Took her out for a meal. We had like sizzling fajitas. You know, it's just a really, really nice. We walked along the beach. You know, I got in like 18,000 steps. Excuse me. And yeah, just had a really, just me and her, just like literally nice to feel a couple. Do you know what I mean? It was really nice to feel. Excuse me, I got something in my throat. Little froggy. Excuse me. That's better. It was just nice to feel romantic as well. You know, just nice to feel that kind of emotion, which I hadn't felt for a long time. And I don't hold hands. I'm not an openly affectionate person in public. You know, never really have been. I just kind of go along. But it was nice to just walk around and hold my wife's hand and just embrace it, really. And we, you know, she went to a shop and she was like, I don't want to get that. It's a bit too much. So I was like, well, I'll get it then. You know, just because I'm like, let's just I want her to enjoy her weekend as well, you know. So we went and had a nice meal, jumped in the car, went back, stopped into local town, and we walked around the local town as well. And went back and just had a really, really nice, relaxing evening. It was nice because I'd had a couple of gins on Saturday night, and I was acting a bit of a dick, like a childish bloke, not acting 41, but nearly 41 anyway. And my wife said to me, she said, "Are you drunk?" And I was like, "No." She goes, "Why are you acting like a dick?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "We're just dancing around and saying clowny things." And I looked at her and I said, I said, "You know what? I'm just happy." And she just looked at me and smiled, because I haven't said that for a long time. I haven't said I'm happy, never felt proper happiness, you know, but it was nice to be able to sit there and enjoy a gin and nibbles and have a, you know, really nice evening. And just the two of us watching TV. We watched a really good TV series, which was absolutely incredible. And I just felt a little bit normal, dare I say it, you know, because I've not felt normal for a long time. And even when I'd had my stressful start of the week, and I know that I had the negative effect were there, I'd recognise it quite early. And I got to Saturday night and it was nice. We had a nice relaxing evening. I said to her, you know, obviously Mother's Day today, so, you know, I was conscious of that. But I said to her, look, you know, I've booked to go to golf with my best mate in the morning. I'm really sorry. And she was like, you know, absolutely don't worry about it. I said, look, I'm going early in the morning, so I'll be back about 11:30. I said, so, you know, you'll only been up an hour anyway. I said, have a nice lie in. There's no one else in the house. It was just her and the dog. So I was like, yeah, just, you know, crack on and have a lie in. So I went off 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, which was absolutely incredible. And because I loved that, it was quiet on the road Sunday. Went down because I knew I was going to have a nice morning with my best mate. We used this app called How About. I've used it before. I used it a couple of years ago, and I've used it a little bit last year, and I got back into using it again because it was absolutely amazing. Because you just you add your friends, and then you suggest things like, do you fancy going to here? And then you lock in the dates, and it's in a diary, and it gives you, it's basically like your Microsoft Calendar, but really good way of just sort of suggesting things and knowing who's coming along. So it's like it's just like an interactive way. It's an app that makes life a little bit easier, doesn't it? So we'd planned for this pitch and putt morning. He was on breakfast, and yeah, we pitched up. And I think what actually topped my day off, believe it or not, was we messaged in the morning. I was like, I'm leaving now, buddy. You know, we do this, the little voice comes on WhatsApp. And I was like, yeah, I'm leaving now, buddy. And he was like, no worries, mate. I'll pick you up some breakfast and, you know, I'll see you there. I was like, cool. So I was driving along and I thought to myself, I know what he's going to get, because he'd do the same as me rather than making. I mean, no one can make breakfast like Nelly. Jesus Christ, that was like phenomenal. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not playing my mate down, but he's done the same as what I'd have done. I would have just gone. He went to McDonald's and picked up a couple of gobbos out me front door. And he picked up a McDonald's, and I would have done the same because I would have just gotten sausage and egg McMuffin meal, hash brown, and a coffee latte. Job done. So, you know, it's nice and easy for £4.50. I'd have gone, yeah, it's easy. There's only two of us, so it's nice and easy. So he did the same. But I was driving along, and I went, do you know what? I know that he's going to do that. I said, but I know the sausage and egg McMuffin comes. This it sounds really trivial to most people, but it meant a lot to me. I said, oh, I don't like cheese. I said, will he have remembered not cheese? So I was going along going, well, it's not his fault if he doesn't, because, you know, I'm not on his radar, so to speak. That's not what I was saying. I even told him this. So I'm not on his radar, you know, whereas like at home you would expect people to know that I don't like cheese and I don't like tomatoes and things like that. Do you know what I mean? And I don't like fish. Most people that really know me know I don't like those three things. I can just about tolerate to a some sort of degree where I don't think about it on a pizza, just because I did years of pizza with no cheese, which is ludicrous, by the way. And you try and ask for that in Pizza Hut and all that and say, I want all of the toppings, no cheese. And they look at you like you're a fucking idiot, because they're like, well, what do we use to bind everything then? I'm like, I don't know. You need to figure it out. That's your problem, not mine. So I just bear it on a pizza for some reason. I don't know why. It's like psychologically, but you put cheese in front of me normally and I'll fucking kill it off. And even to the point where I was then running through the scenarios going, well, okay, well, if he gets a double sausage and egg McMuffin, that's not too bad, because the cheese will be here and here and I can take that out, split it with him. He can have an extra egg and I'll have one of his sausages. So I'll have three layers of sausage, he'll have two layers, two eggs. Do you know what I mean? Whatever. So I was thinking about this. And then I was thinking, well, can I eat it? Bear in mind, this is just how my brain thinks. Can I eat it? Because I thought, well, nah, because it's that yellowy cheese. I don't like the yellowy cheese. And people are like, what do you mean yellowy cheese? I'm like, the really vibrant, cheap yellowy cheese, not the mild cheese, you know? So, and that's what puts me off for some reason. I don't know why. So that's how finicky I am. So anyway, I thought, ah, fucking, it is what it is. You know, I can't dwell on this. Life's too short for me to really stress about this. I'll just be grateful that he's got there, or I'll eat two hash browns and he can have two sausage and egg, but whatever. I run for all these scenarios. I pitched up and he come out and he was like, ree! And I was like, ree! I had music blaring, and which I shouldn't have done at that time in the fucking morning, but who cares? Got out the car and I just knew I was set for a fucking great morning, because the sun was beaming. It was a good laugh. Anyway, he comes out. He's got this fucking McDonald's bag. And I was like, oh, bastard. I said, mate, you're a legend. He said, mate, I got your sausage and egg McMuffin, no cheese. I went, you fucking what? You what? He went, yeah, no sausage and egg McMuffin, no cheese. I was like, how the fuck did you remember that? He went, of course I remember that, mate. You don't like cheese. I was like, and do you know what? That meant $1 million to me, because he knew. Do you know what I mean? It was like, that's a proper friend that knows the details about you. So I smiled and I was like, mate, you're a fucking legend. So, you know, and we were talking about, because we were in the lakes and we were talking about where it was frozen, and I walked across this frozen lake. So we walked to the edge to see how deep it was. This was like 10 years ago. And he was like, fucking hell, that was really deep. And then I was like, mate, the funny thing is, if the lake was frozen, I'd do it again. And I'm heavier and older. He's like, I know you would. And I said, you'd probably join me this time, wouldn't you? He went, well, I probably would. But then I know the double weight would fucking crack through. I'll never grow up. Anyway. So I went on, had an amazing day, played pitch and putt, and just had an absolute blinding crack, made some really good memories, took photos, went for a walk afterwards, and then just trundled home and had the day, really. Do you know what I mean? And do you know what? When I got back in, I was like, oh, you know, I said to the missus, I phoned her up, said, I'm just getting my car washed. Do you want a sausage and egg McMuffin? Not for me, because I'd already had one. But I thought, well, I know she wanted one the day before and we didn't get one. So I said, do you want one for breakfast, Mother's Day? She was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Got our sausage and egg McMuffin, job done. Treated her. You know what I mean? Don't say I don't buy anything nice. Do you know what I mean? So, no, I'd got her some stuff before anyway. Some nice, I think she wanted some trainers and bits like that. So I got her some trainers and stuff. But anyway, so I went back in and then she was off doing her bits. I said, oh, just go off. She went off with a friend. And I was like, well, I'm going to walk the dog. So I went to walk the dog, and that's when I just kind of built the day, really. I just kind of reflected on all of that. And then I got a bit overwhelmed with myself, which was a nice feeling. I want to kind of talk openly about it, because I think you should. You know, it's nice to feel happy. And when you can cry and shed a tear, I embraced it. and I just enjoyed it. I just went, do you know what? This is actually a nice feeling. I'm not crying because I want to give up. I'm not crying because I don't want to be here. I'm not crying because someone's hurt me. I'm not crying because I've hurt someone. This is just, I'm crying because I'm genuinely happy. I'm genuinely in a good place. I'm surrounded by people that I genuinely care about. I sent a message to a very good friend of mine this morning, because even though he's, you know, a sort of kind of new friend to me, I know a lot about him because, you know, I've worked alongside him for a year, and, you know, he unfortunately lost his mum recently. And I thought about that. And I went, you know, it's obviously Mother's Day, and, you know, so I sent him a personal message just saying, you know, happy Mother's Day to your amazing mum, sort of thing. And because I genuinely was like thinking about, like, he needs someone to talk to, you know, he needs someone to think about him. Do you know what I mean? And I just basically sent that message because I just felt it felt nice. And I think that would I have done that 6 months ago? I probably wouldn't have done. Not through being horrible, because it's him. I mean, I wouldn't have done it in general. I wouldn't have thought about that because I wasn't openly thinking, or I had too many things on my mind, or there was too many negativities around me to really nurture that. But I've got it to the point where I'm just interested in the people that I care about, the people that want to better their lives and better their lives with me, and enjoy the journey with me. And it was a really nice feeling to wake up and go, mate, I acknowledge that this is going to be a tough day for you, but I'm sending my thoughts for you, mate, and I'm sending thoughts for your mum, you know? And it was just a really nice feeling, you know, just to do that for a man, to a man. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, you don't really hear about that, you know? I know there's other people, like my best friend, his wife's lost his mum. So I know that would have been a rough day for him too, as well. I mean, it's a fair few years ago now, but you never really forget, do you? So I know that he would have wanted to go back and go all out for her when she woke up. And, you know, that is a nice thing, but you do that. But to think about it from a man's perspective, about your mate, and go, fucking hell, all right, mate. That's a really nice feeling to do, but I wouldn't have done that 6 months ago. And then I think that that is when I started to really think about it and really started breaking it down, I just genuinely was happy that I was able to think about these people, and I'd had a really good morning. I reflected on having a really good previous week. I'd reflected on even when I was feeling stressed out and I was really, really kind of low and I was going to bed early. My two mates were messaging me every day, and in our little positive vibes group, and morning every morning, night every night, even when I said I'm going to bed, guys, I'm wiped out, they were like, you're smashing out of the bag, mate, you fucking absolutely got this, get your head down, buddy, and start today, tomorrow with a fresh head. But it was just real encouraging, you know. And at the same time, my mate who's on there, old Nelly, he's absolutely fucking destroying his weight loss plan. He's absolutely smashing out of the bag, and he's really inspirational. I keep telling him to slow down a little bit, just to nurture his body a little bit and make sure he does it properly so he enjoys the process. And he is, he's consciously doing that. And at the same time, you know, I've got my other mate, my best mate, you know, fucking whole entire world. I love talking future with him, you know, and we've got so many fucking different plans and stuff, and I'm going to help him out with some other things regarding work. And so I just feel really positive to be surrounded by people that message me. I mean, I've had one of my mates, the one I was talking about, I messaged earlier on, and he, we're on about joining the old brotherhood, you know, the old Masons, and he gave me the information for this, and he was like, mate, come along, you'd absolutely love it. And I would, because, you know, I'm very military minded still, and it's a kind of ethos to me. And I know they're not military kind, but it's that sort of structure, isn't it? And that's that kind of a place for men to go and chew the fat and talk about stuff and just feel like you belong to something, you know. It's what I've wanted. I nurtured the lordships, you know. I brought everyone around me invested in other people to make them lords, because I wanted to belong to something. That's all I've wanted to do, belong to a group of people. Well, unfortunately, I've established now that not everybody wants that same thing. I do it now, and this is where this year makes a massive difference to me, because I've actually nurtured the people that probably would want to join that for the real reasons, to be part of something. And it's really important because, you know, you need to look after the people that, that care for you, and you need to look after the people that you care for as well, you know. So it's kind of like a two-way streak. So yeah, I've had a bit of a roller coaster for a week, really. And then even this afternoon, we had a nice cooked meal. I made a nice cooked meal, and then just I'm sat out here, and I was like, I need to do a podcast. Christ, I need to jump out and get a podcast done, because I was conscious I was going to have a little bit of gaming session with my mate and just kind of catch up and reflect and chat. But that didn't happen, so we ended up, you know, I ended up coming out here. But this is what I needed, so, you know, I'm back in it, and I'm back on talking about it. So last week I just knew it was stressful, and it wasn't those ones where, it was one of those ones where I knew I was taking on, because the courses were heavily involved in my whole future. This is what my job is based around, so I really need to concentrate on them. And that's where the stress came in, because I knew how important they were. And it wasn't like a long process. I mean, they have said to me that most people do those courses in the space of about 12 months, not 3 days. And they also have a bit of previous experience. You've kind of gone in, you know, all in. And I kind of turned around and said, well, I'm just going to sort of kind of counteract that argument with the fact that you didn't advise me any of this. You took my money, or the company's money, and you trained me and said I'd be all right. So, you know, if I'm not all right, it's reflection on your training, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I'll probably end up sending a stern email. You know me. I like a good, heavily worded email. So yeah, so I've really, it was nice to feel happy. It really is. And I feel like going in tomorrow, it's almost my first day in my new job. That's what I feel like, because now I know what I'm doing. I'm going to start engaging and doing my job, and I feel like I'm going to belong to that. But it's just everything down to even just the how about things. And I've booked camping weekends. I've booked Jurassic Coast tours, not booked, but you know, I've locked them in the dates. We've got a driving range and a night in the old Clock and Balls, my bar. So all these things are about keeping engaging with people and not just spending money. I mean, one of the downsides, I think, to the pandemic is we all do things at home now. We don't go out and do things. So it's kind of like I said to my mate, I was like, you know, get rid of your fucking hot tub, mate, and let's make a little bar. Let's make something that you're going to invite people around with. Let's go out and do things. Let's cut our money back. I cut back on Netflix and Audible and a couple of other things, because I was like, well, I mean, I just cut back on some stuff and saved myself £40 in a month. And I was like, well, that's £40 I can go and do something, you know, one weekend, go and do a tour or go and do something like that. So we had a good heart to heart and we really engaged. But it was just that overwhelming feeling I felt this afternoon was really nice to embrace. It's unusual to get like that, because, you know, I'm not that type of person. I'm not an emotional person, but it was really nice. I embraced it, and I went, and even when it happened, I was like, you know, why am I doing this? Okay. Well, and then I was even thinking about it. Like, well, you know, and then I just kind of went with it and enjoyed it. I've had to really adjust myself, and this weekend was really about balancing all that. It was about like going, I need a bit of time for my family, need a bit of time for just me and my wife, to be a couple again, and I need time with my mates to talk and have memories and do things with them, and I got a great balance this weekend. You know, the only downside is I was meant to go up and have a fucking coffee with my mate up at camp, and he's let me know now that I was 2 hours late and I didn't turn up to this one. So he's basically said I'm a shit friend. It's a one-sided friendship. So I need to, you know, categorize on that misfortune and make something epic the next time round. Do you know what I mean? So I can sort of kind of undo the negativity on that one. But yeah, it was just a fantastic weekend. And I think it sort of kind of underpinned this weekend. It was the first time in a long time. I've tried re-engaging with other people, and other people have tried re-engaging me, and I've gone, fuck, I can't, because you're not ready to help yourself, etc., etc. And I've still got my own battles to deal with. You know, this learning thing, do I think this is going to stop? No, I don't. I've got this thirst to learn, but it overwhelms me quite a bit. And I knew it was a problem this weekend, really, when My mum, actually, she's gone away to Mexico with my dad, and they've had an absolutely amazing time. And I'm sort of kind of, they're back now, but they'd been away, and I was just sort of watching the house for them and all the other good stuff. And I've just seen their relationship. It's nice. It was, I think the holiday came at the right time for them. But anyway, she sent me a photo, and it was of a sun with like what looked like a halo around it, like a lens flare. And I was like, oh, that, do you know what that is? Mum said, oh, it's a beautiful picture, son. What do you think of this? And I was like, oh, yeah, brilliant. And I kind of, instead of just going as a lovely photo and shut it up and moving on, because it was a lovely photo, I went into the analysis side of things. I was like, it's because of lens flare. Rah, 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 rah. And I basically just spilled off this stuff. And my mum was like, oh, yeah, you know, but we see it with our eyes, son. And I was like, oh, okay, well, it must be light refraction then. So you must be getting due, you must be due rain tonight. I said, are you due rain tonight? She was, actually, we are in a couple of hours. I was like, oh, it must be that. So I even explained that. So instead of just going, it's a lovely photo, moving on and enjoying the photo and probably talking about the story, I became a boring twat and went into the whole, like, it's because of this, this and this. And I kind of lost interest in my mum, I think. She was kind of, well, she lost interest in me. But that's the problem with learning. I feel that other people want to do that. So I'm like, oh, yeah, that's because of this. And I get a lot now. A lot of people say to me, oh, yeah, okay, I was bored ages ago, mate. And I get that. I get it because I've got a thirst to learn, but they don't realise that my thirst to learn is to stop me from feeling awful because it's constant. It's there all the time. It you know, click of a finger, I can be fucking done and be raging. I can be... click of a finger, I can just go into a whirlwind of horrible place. So I have to manage that all the time, all the time. So I have to keep myself busy all the time. So I look at it as a positive, but at the same time, is it physically exhausting? And at the same time, it can ruin conversations when people go, oh, I just want an easy answer, mate. I didn't really want the whole background. I do that a lot. My wife, she asks me questions, and I go, oh, it's because of such and such. Blah, blah, blah. Go into a full fucking spiel about it. She's like, I just wanted to know this. And you're like, yeah. I was giving you the history on it, so I don't fucking want it. Do you know what I mean? So it can be negative in both ways. But what am I talking about here? Well, what I'm talking about is, it, you know, first off, you know, it's nice to feel happy. Second off, this just proves it works when you talk to people and you engage with the right people that around you that are like-minded, that want the same thing and care about you. You know, it's nice to get a message on a Saturday morning when you're running around, and I was in Bournemouth, and I got messages from my two mates saying, you know, all right, mate, how's it going? And yeah, mate, I miss you guys. Hope you're having a good weekend. And it's nice because you miss that camaraderie, that something to talk about, something to have a bit of fun with, something to get a bit crazy with. It becomes an addiction when you've got it. Do you know what I mean? So it was nice. It's really nice to feel that, you know, because men don't traditionally feel that. They don't traditionally... We all have... I mean, you get the occasional person as a bromance, you know, and I've had a couple of bromances, you know, that sort of kind of... You meet someone and you just like-minded and you have a good time. But, you know, they sort of kind of fizzle out in a sense. But the only person really that is my best mate, you know, I've literally... That's 27 years, you know what I mean? So... But it's nice to now engage with the same people along us, you know, because we've tried to engage with people along our way. But people are just at different points in their life, you know. And I'm not saying that you need to be on this journey, you know, because you need to be at the same point as me. But you need to, you know, acknowledge if you want to be on this journey and have a good time while we go along that journey. But it takes support, takes commitment, and it just takes being a good friend. And I think that today it was refreshing to feel happy and really important for me to sit here and talk about it, actually, because I want you to show that by doing the right things and looking after yourself. And even this morning I did the same thing. I had my, you know, woke up again and had my fruit shake, went for the walk, you know, with the dog, you know, got back, played pitch and putt, got my steps in, came back, another big walk with the dog, you know what I mean? So I've kept my routine. I had the cold shower. I've, you know, even to the point where this weekend I went out and I bought some like beard balm and a little bit of hair gel and some nice, God, what do they call it? I can't remember what it's called. It's this special, it's like L'Oreal moisturizing cream. But it was nice to look after. I felt nice to look after yourself. And that's what I mean is, you know, I'm not, you know, categorizing that in this. We should all go out and get ourselves cosmetics and make ourselves look amazing like that. What I mean is it was nice to feel good about yourself. I actually cared that I was going to put a bit of wax in my hair. I actually cared. And I, the first thing that you do when you're not very happy is, you know, you lose that ability to care for yourself and you do let yourself go. And that's what I've been doing. That's where I spoke to you at the start of the podcast. I was like, I want to sort my mind out so that I can make my, you know, body and everything else better. So I'm doing it the right way, I think. I'm really nurturing my ability to be stronger minded, embrace the fact that I've basically joined health and safety in a year, and in less than a year, in 6 months, I've got to technical status. I've done my level 6, I've done level 3 AT, I've done all these things to make myself a better person. And this weekend I sat there and I've had ups and downs this weekend, in the sense, you know, when I was talking to my wife this weekend, and we were openly, because we openly talk when it's just us, because it's nice to be able to talk about things. Don't often get that chance when you've got the kids, but acknowledge the fact that she said, you know, you do seem happier. You do seem, you're not quite there, I don't think, but you do seem like you're on the right path. And I went, I'm surrounded by the people that I care about and they care back. So it's a really refreshing feeling. And it was just important to feel that, you know. And she said that there's obviously, she acknowledged, we spoke about last week when I, you know, sort of kind of, you know, became negative, and she sort of kind of said, well, I can tell you still got a way to go. You still got that to do. And I went, do you know what, that is a problem? And the problem is I put myself under pressure to perform. I put myself under pressure to learn. I put myself under pressure to be the best I can at the day dot, you know, day one, I want to be the best. And that's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. I just need to just get into my job and just enjoy it and learn the process. And I'm in a comfortable position to do that. And I've got a really good work-life balance. I start work at 7:30, I finish at 4:00. So I get loads of time with my family. I get to be able to do other things. I get to go out and, you know, go to the gym early, and it's not impinging my whole evening. So I'm just, all these really positive things to develop in your life. And it's just proven that here we are almost in April. I started this journey in December. Middle of December, and really geared it up in January, and here we are now in April, really managing it. It's going to get better. It can only get better. I know there's going to be hiccups along the way, because I've proven that that does happen, and I have to manage those. And there's going to be stressful situations, you know, there's going to be things that are going to bug me. I get that. And unfortunately, that's a really hard habit to break, but I'm empowering it. I'm acknowledging it. And like I said, I knew that I was tired last week, so I went to bed and went, just go to bed. You just need an early night, mate. It's as simple as that. You know, you say it to your daughter or your sons, you know, you're hanging out your ass, mate. You're being a proper knob. You need to go to bed. But you don't do that as an adult. You just go, no, I'm going to go for it. I'm just going to endure it, mate. But it's nice to just be surrounded by people that care. So it's kind of a little bit of a fluffy one, really, today, just because it's nice to feel happy. And I really want people to know that if you're, you know, 30, we're 29 podcasts or whatever we are in, if you've come along this way, then hopefully you've done things along this way and you're feeling those same endorphins and those same rushes from the things that you're changing around your life. I see it all the time, and I'm on a lot of mental health forums, and I see men's mental health really, really growing at the moment, and it's spectacular to see that. And I'm just starting really to help. I'm at the early stages, but I'm enjoying it, and I really am enjoying it, because it's bettering me, and at the same time, the people around me that are amazing, and I'm finding new people that are amazing. Not new people as I need new people, but it's just nice to be around people that care. And it's almost as if, like, people come in and are negative, you know, doosh, bat them off, you know, come in, you know, negative, doosh, back them off, and come in, positive, come on in, mate, let's have a good time, negative, doosh, knock them back out again, you know. So it's kind of just nurturing the good stuff. It's really nurturing the good stuff, and it's just making me feel happy. It really is. I know I'm tired, I know I get exhausted, I've still battled with demons. Like I said, you know, last week it was prime example. You know, I was really exhausted and I just the first thing I went was, why am I doing this? You know, why do I? What's the purpose of doing it? What am I going to get out of this? Do I need to do this? Yeah, you do need to do this. You do need to do this for your job. But why? What's the purpose in it? What's the point in being here? Do you know what I mean? Why am I learning? I'm stressing myself. And that's what I go through. I get to that point where it gets frustrating. And I'm screaming at myself. So I'm not this fucking strength pillar that everyone thinks that I possibly could be. I'm not at all. I'm a roller coaster. And, you know, there's times where, you know, like anything, everything that I talk about and everything that you see, and you, it's like social media, you see all the happy sides, you see all the happy times, but you don't see the sad times, because no one likes to post about the sad times, unless you love a bit of attention. But I don't like posting about the sad times. I've done it a couple of times in my past, because I cried for help, basically. And it, there's a fine line between people crying for help and people for, you know, that are crying for attention. There is a fine line, because you just don't know. But I know I've got a lot to go through. I know I've got a long journey ahead of me. Christ, you know, if everyone could be rebuilt in 3 months, well, we wouldn't need a mental health system, would be. So, you know, I have to acknowledge the fact that I take medication daily. I have to acknowledge the fact that I do slip up. And I also have to remember that the sun's coming out a bit more, so we all naturally feel a little bit happier with that. We're going out a bit more. So I do recognise all these things, but at the same time, I'm just embracing the happiness for now. And I'm enjoying it. I don't want to get to the point where I used to, where I would be happy and I would chase that happiness till it exhausted me, literally crippled me. I'd be like, I can't take any more happiness, fuck everything. And then I would, you know, completely and utterly destroy myself to the point where I've exhausted myself so much, then I'd become so depressed. And then I'd be depressed for, you know, days, weeks, months, and then I'd get a happy spell, something would happen, and I'd go get the courage to go and do it, and then I'd chase that, and I'd get over it, and I'd get exhausted again, because I'm overselling the whole situation, and then I was peaks and troughs all the time. So I'm conscious that, you know, I know what that looks like. A lot of people say, well, that's bipolar, and that's what I was tested for and everything else. So, you know, they didn't want to pursue it, because bipolar, when you get bipolar diagnosed, it's a big thing. It's massive. It goes on your passport, it goes on your driving license, it goes on everything. You know, it goes on your medical records a lot. So, obviously, medical records. But it does affect your driving, it affects your travelling to countries and all sorts. So they didn't really want to pursue it. But I'm just acknowledging that, can I manage that myself if it's not that the problem? So I go up and down all the time. I know for a fact that I've had a really blinding weekend, so I know for a fact that tomorrow is going to be a difficult day, because I've had a really good weekend and I'm back into the work pace. So I just need to make sure I steady myself along that journey and make sure I just do enough to just get the ball rolling and just enjoy the job and not sit there and try and smash it all out in a week, but just enjoy the job, enjoy the process. And I've never done that before. And I'm hoping that the way that I'm managing my mind and I'm managing everything around me, that is going to help me to coax that out of me and develop that in the right way, so that I can start becoming a better human being. And that's what this is all about. Anyway, I could talk for hours today, because I've not spoke to you for a week, but I'm conscious that I want to talk all week. So, you know, podcast galore. I've got so much to talk about as well, because it's not just reflecting, but I've been learning stuff along this way as well. So there's some good stuff to talk about. But I just wanted to just really share with you that, you know, you can embrace being happy. And I know at the moment I'm very like, well, when's it going to go wrong? And, you know, that is the downside, unfortunately, when you're used to things going wrong, that you think that it's going to be wrong tomorrow, or you're waiting for the next big thing, and then you go, oh, there it fucking is, see, fucking happiness can't last. I don't want to be that person, so I'm just going, it is what it is, just going to just refigure, jig my life and reconfigure everything to make sure that I don't get to that point. So, yeah, I just wanted to share this with you, and I hope that you've all had an amazing week. I know that people rely on this just as much as I rely on me talking, and I really do enjoy the talking aspect. You can tell probably I'm a little bit exhausted today, because, you know, it's been one of those ones, you know, it's kind of been, you know, I've kind of, yeah, it's the tail end of a roller coaster of a week, but I've got a smile on my face, and it's almost 10 o'clock on a Sunday, and I'm going to just chill out and go to bed. So it just goes to show you can do it if you surround yourself with the right people and the right, you put yourself on the right path, and you surround yourself with the right people. And it does, I will say before I finish, just make sure that you embrace it fully, though. You know, make sure you do engage with your friends, because they just rely on you just as much as you rely on them. So it's a two-way street, this. Make sure you do. Make sure you follow all these things through. Make sure that you do continue to send messages. Even if it's just a, you know, all right, dude, you know, hope you've had a great weekend, you know, good night, etc., etc. Just to keep that engaging going, because sometimes your little message can mean a lot to somebody. And it's really important to make sure that you hold on to that. That little message you send could mean the world to that person. Again, vice versa, you know, you organising something could mean the world to that person. So, and I'm very conscious to do that. I'm very conscious to look at going places and seeing new adventures and learning from other people. I mean, I'm keen to get back into that train. So, but yeah, thank you for listening. I hope you all have an amazing week. You're going to hear me all through the week, so don't worry about that. And I've got my motivational minute coming up tomorrow morning. No, I'm not going to do it early, because I did it early and tried to schedule it last week and it didn't. It sent it straight back out. So I was, well, that's not a motivational minute for the Monday. So I'm going to do a little motivational minute for tomorrow morning. That'll be my first agenda. I'll get into work, and I say get into work like I'm driving somewhere. I'm going to stumble out my back door and walk around the corner to my office. So I'm going to do a little cheeky motivational minute. And yeah, basically just start the week like that. And then I'm going to do a podcast, and just, I've got so much tips and tricks and to give you, and some stuff I've learned from other people, actually, because people have been giving me feedback. So don't forget to jump on the Facebook and check me out, The Gentleman's Talk, and send me a message if you want me to talk about anything, or anything you want me to help about. I'm here to listen. I'm here to talk. Yeah, I look forward to hearing from you, and I hope you all have an amazing week, and take care and enjoy the rest of your Sunday evening.